Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, go away you fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello.
And U Street.
Hey y'all.
Well, we're still not done with football. I keep waiting for the week that we don't have football content, but, you know, filling out a coaching staff and another transfer portal image situation gives us the opportunity to talk a bit about football. So let's do that real quick. Starting with the coach, Brick Haley is your new defensive line coach for the Minnesota Gophers. Dude has an absolutely insane amount of experience, and you have now reached the end of my knowledge about Brick Haley. You know, Andy, what are your thoughts on this hire for Coach Fleck?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely went out and, you know, used whatever quote-unquote cost savings they may have saved by hiring Danny Collins and Greg Harbaugh as the tight ends and safeties coach on Haley. And as you said, Haley does have an impressive list. He's been over 30 years of assistant coaching experience, was D-line coach most recently at Missouri, where, you know, Eli Drinkwitz let him go after 1 year sort of as the scapegoat. Not coincidentally, Missouri's defensive line stats went down last year, the year after Haley wasn't on with the program. But he's Texas, LSU, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, Baylor. Spent a few years as the D-line coach for the Chicago Bears. So, I mean, he's definitely got a lot of experience and a lot of experience working with defensive linemen. So, you know, the hope is that he's a good recruiter, can go out and get some steals for Minnesota over the next year or so, and can teach up some of these young guys that we got. You know, the defensive line went from being a relative strength to potential weakness. Now we've added three or four older transfers back in, so it's not going to be necessarily just the young guys that are going to have to do the work, but hopefully Haley can coach them back up and get this D-line to close to where they were a year ago.
Before we talk about one of those older guys, Street, is this, you know, fit the mold of what you would want to see coming in as a D-line coach filling a hole?
Sure. To be slightly less facetious, I similarly know very little about Brick Haley. Seems like a good dude. Your position coaches are guys who you want to go out and recruit and form relationships. If he's successful at that, great. Obviously, they also should be coaching in meetings and in individual teamwork. I have no reason to believe that he can't do that. Certainly, he's been around at a lot of top programs, so all of those things seem good. I will continue to be of the view that while they matter a lot, as long as the top structure stays the same, what you're going to see on the field is going to look pretty similar.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. I mean, and if Brick Haley turns out to be some weird mastermind and, you know, transports us to an SEC level defensive line, so much the better. All right. Well, that brings us to defensive tackle transfer Chris Smith from Harvard. Was an all Ivy League selection last year. And at this point, you know, you got to feel like the Gophers feel pretty good about how much experience and age they've brought in to fill the defensive line out a little bit, given, you know, the loss of Niles Pickney and Mike Adu Treadaway. You know, Andy, any final thoughts? As I would assume this is the last of the defensive tackle acquisitions for the Gophers.
Yeah, I think that's got to be probably pretty close to correct. You know, the Gophers have already added the other Clemson transfer Jeffries, and they added Surgers from Vanderbilt, and now Chris Smith. Smith had transfer offers along with the Gophers from Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Vanderbilt. So, you know, it not necessarily the top tier programs of the world, but Virginia Tech have had pretty good teams the last few years. So decent, you know, teams that Minnesota is going with. And this is one that I think that they, you know, they sort of sought out with. Since Smith put his name in the portal, his, you know, Minnesota's been sort of flirting with him forever and finally got him on campus last weekend. The transition and D-line coaches apparently didn't change anything, because he's definitely committed to Minnesota earlier on Wednesday after PJ Fleck had an in-house with him earlier this week. So, you know, it's another big body in front. I mean, you've got your older guys where you're going to have Jeffries and Smith and Surgers. D'Angelo Carter's still going to be, he's sort of the, you know, the present older guys, is he's going to be a junior next year, clogging up the middle. And then you've got some of the younger guys who we're going to have to see between Ja Joyner and Devin Eastern and Jalen Logan Redding, who can show up. So the good news is at least Minnesota appears to have decent depth back in the defensive line. Now, we don't know exactly how good that depth is, but they do have, you know, probably a legitimate two deep yet again. So, you know, between that and the secondary transfers they've added and you know, the relatively still deep linebacker room, you know, there's a legitimate two deep on this entire defense now. Now it's just going to be up to spring ball and then later in fall camp to prove who deserves to be on the field and who is a legitimate backup can you put out there and not lose too much of a difference.
Can I note a possible reason why this guy wanted to come to Minnesota?
Sure, go for it.
Well, he was at a very low-ranked academic institution and wanted to have an academically rigorous experience.
Harvard, noted safety school that it is.
Well, can I add, this is the thing. I know this isn't the biggest thing in terms of our podcast or whatever, but yeah, getting into Harvard is very difficult. But the actual Harvard educational experience, and I happen to have a fair number of friends who have gone through it and who've gone from other Ivies and whatnot, is actually really not that challenging. It's substantially harder to fail out of Harvard than to, like, get all A's at Harvard. So if you actually want, you know, a true academic experience, maybe he was looking for a Big Ten academic experience. He'd had enough of this lazy Ivy education.
You're poking a big hole in the mystique here, Street.
Well, we should strongly poke a hole in the mystique of Harvard.
The Skulls are going to come for you, son.
I mean, whatever. They already have the money.
All right, basketball. You know, last week we were on the precipice of a upset over Michigan State, watching the men nearly upstate. The men nearly upset a ranked Michigan State team. Then over the weekend, a completely undermanned Minnesota team rallied from 23 down to nearly come back to beat Iowa before falling by 10. And, you know, I kind of feel like we're in the best kind of broken record, which is this Minnesota team remains a team that plays hard and, if they're shooting well enough, is annoying to beat. Am I missing anything, Street?
That, and they're not that talented, no. And that's not, to be clear, it sounds insulting, but it's not meant to be. It's just this year with the big transition and who they had to bring in, this is not a team that we expected at the beginning of the year to be competitive in the Big Ten. It was great that they had the non-conference they did. I completely agree with you, Chris, and I've said it before as well, that for this season, what you want to see is a team that's competing, that has a strong identity behind competing throughout a game. And the Iowa game was a good example of this, because when they got down a bunch, I frankly sort of threw in the towel for them and began, well, this is a recap that I'll be able to finish with, you know, 8 minutes to go in the game kind of thing. The Iowa, I think, eased up a little bit, at least at the beginning of the run. But Minnesota goes on a 22-6 run to pull in, to get it to a two-possession game. Jameson Battle makes a fantastic three from the logo, almost, to make it a one-possession game. They are unlucky in two respects. One, they are unlucky, I think it's the possession before, Peyton Willis misses a dunk. Yeah, he was probably fouled. But nonetheless, missed that dunk, and Iowa went down and got points on the other end. I think if Peyton Willis had made that dunk, I actually think that Minnesota wins. And then Keegan Murray, who unfortunately is very good at basketball and also doesn't play for the Gophers, made a three that he had no business making very late, because unfortunately good players will do that to you, and that sort of sends it out. But playing really undermanned and watching the compete level, yes, the compete level was not there earlier in the game. The reason why they lose a game is because you go down 20-plus points, hard to win basketball games. But I've been heartened by that. I was similarly heartened in the Michigan State game, where Michigan State, for basically every position on the floor, with the exception of Jameson Battle, I think has been exceptional this year. And I see no reason why that won't continue, such that I think it's reasonable that he might be a second team All Big Tener this year. I mean, he's been phenomenal, just so much better than I expected to. But outside of Jameson Battle, it's hard for me to be like, oh, I'm going to take a bunch of the Gophers over the Michigan State roster on paper. Nonetheless, consistent compete, consistent push. Ben Johnson is calling really impressive games. I think the Gophers are executing as well as they can on that. For a team that admittedly is 1-5 in conference play, and I expect them to lose a fair number of conference games throughout, I think they're also playing like a team that is better than their record. And frankly, as far as year zero under the Coach Ben Johnson era, that's all I'm looking for.
So, you know, they were supposed to be playing Penn State this week. Obviously, that game postponed due to COVID-related situation on the Minnesota side of things. Everybody get healthy, please. But that game, at this point, has not been rescheduled, correct? I mean, it's postponed, not forfeited, but they haven't figured out where to slot that. Am I correct in remembering that?
Andy is our schedule guru, but that's my understanding.
That is correct. It's still technically just postponed. The Big Ten hasn't figured out how to fit all those games in yet, which they'll have to do eventually, obviously. But, you know, it's a disappointing because, you know, obviously it's a Big Ten road game, but it's at Penn State. That's a game that, you know, inherently was winnable on the schedule. The other thing which is worried, their next game, as of right now, is scheduled for Saturday morning, 11 a.m. tip against Rutgers at the Barn. In theory, the Gophers should be able to play as long as they don't have a ton of players. They're still dealing with symptoms, and it didn't sound like they were, because the five-day quarantine period should be good for the players that missed the Iowa game. But it'll be interesting to see. The Penn State game got postponed because after additional testing, the Gophers dropped below that 7 scholarship limit. So, you know, who else tested positive and who may not be cleared by the time the Saturday game comes around? Is that Battle? Is that Willis? Is that some of the other really key players for Minnesota to have a legitimate shot against Rutgers on Saturday? We don't know. That hasn't been announced, and we probably won't know until you know, late Friday, early Saturday, who's been cleared and who might actually be able to play. So that's something they're going to have to look at. But admittedly, after that, I mean, that Rutgers game, and Rutgers is a decent team. They're in the middle of the pack. They're basically playing even with Iowa right now as this game, or which we're recording this. But after that, you play Ohio State at home, you go to Wisconsin, you get Purdue at home, you go to Iowa. So there's four relatively hard games in a row before then you get Nebraska and Penn State, you know, more winnable games. So it'll be tough to see. You know, the other thing is obviously you're going to have to squeeze that other Penn State game, and I haven't looked at Penn State's schedule, but Minnesota, the longest break they have the rest of the season, they have a 4-day break between Tuesday the 15th they play at Ohio State, and Saturday the 19th they host Northwestern. Otherwise, it's, you know, all 3 days or less in between games. So assuming that Penn State game can get rescheduled in the middle somewhere, you know, they're going to have two or three games in you know, 3, 4, 5 days. So there's unfortunately not much you can do about that, but it's just another thing that the Gophers will have to deal with and their shortened roster.
You know, turning the attention to the women, where are we right now? I mean, it feels like we're in a holding pattern, hoping that next year Lindsey Whalen's well-regarded class can inject some life into a program that is just honestly still struggling in the post, seemingly. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. There is not too much to say beyond that. I mean, Minnesota lost a couple of games, both of which are winnable. This team continues to have real problems coming out from the second half. The third quarter has been a bane under Whalen's tenure so far. I think it is fair, thinking at a macro picture, that next year that seat should be hot. I'm not saying it's so hot that she should be fired or something if she doesn't make the tournament necessarily, but I do think it should be hot because, as you said, they are bringing in consistent talent. Next year they have a fantastic class, but also on the recruiting trail, at least on paper, they're bringing in good players. They just have yet to find a consistent low post presence on offense, but far more importantly on defense, and so they're just getting killed night in and night out at any team that has really solid bigs, and they're not shooting well enough from the outside on offense to make it work the other way. So it is unfortunate because Minnesota is a program that I think should have the reasonable expectation of competing, if not making, the tournament every single year. There is the institutional resources for Minnesota for that, and there is also the underlying fan support in the Twin Cities that if the team goes on a run and wins a few games consistently, the barn will fill up to go watch women's basketball. That's not true in a lot of places. I think it is true at Minnesota. And so it does start to become reasonable to ask, at what point do you accept what currently is sub-mediocrity? And I suspect that has to start running out reasonably shortly.
Well, you're hoping there's a nice turnaround, because it would be a much better story if Lindsey Whalen succeeded. And obviously, Street, I know you and Andy are both in agreement of that assessment. But yeah, it's a frustrating thing to watch from the outside and just have it be, oh, okay, so they're up. What quarter is it? Third quarter? Well, talk to me in a half hour. See how we're doing. And yeah.
No. And Thursday night, I mean, if you are interested in Gopher Women's basketball, a game will be on BTN. You will see one of the best players in the nation. Unfortunately, she'll be wearing the black and gold of the Iowa Hawkeye uniform, not the maroon and gold. But Caitlin Clark, sophomore guard.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's ridiculously good. And so if you are looking for something to do, 7 p.m. tip Thursday evening, either head down to the barn or watch on Big Ten Network. Because I'm assuming Minnesota will put Sarah Scali on her and just try and contain her as much as possible. But she's ridiculously good. And, you know, so it should be fun to watch her play Thursday night.
I have one word for you. Stickers. You need stickers from Home Field Apparel. I have recently purchased basically their entire supply, or at least their entire line of stickers. There's a fantastic Tulane Green Wave. They now have a Slippery Rock University, Rocky the Rock in some sort of fur coat with a pennant. Go to homefieldapparel.com to check it out. You're going to love these stickers. And of course, there's all the comfortable, fantastic apparel. I also gave some of that for Christmas to my family. And if you want to ring in the new year with some comfortable sweatshirts, homefieldapparel.com is the place to go. Make sure to use code DAILYGOPHER at checkout for 15% off your first order. That's homefieldapparel.com, code DAILYGOPHER. All right, well, it's time that we got there. Gophers hockey, your weekend. Woof. I know Andy's got thoughts. We're gonna get there in a minute. I would like to ask Blake a hockey question, but we're going to give it to Street. Street, let me pick your brain on this one. True or false, it is extremely bad when Minnesota loses to Hockey Bear.
I would guess true.
Yeah. Losing to Alaska. I remember last week when, you know, Andy was laying out a preview and I said, well, you know, we got some things that aren't looking great right now, but hey, at least it's only Alaska. And Andy said, well, unless they lose. And I started in my head, I was laughing because it was fucking Alaska. And here we are. So, Andy, let's talk about that. The fuck. Please explain.
Well, the Justin Close era has begun, and I mean, there is a reason why he was the number three goalie. He's serviceable, but is he the type of goalie that's going to lead you to a Big Ten championship? No, he's not. I mean, he's good. And he did get his first career win 4-1 on Friday night as the Gophers beat Alaska. Unfortunately, we saw what happened Saturday as you saw what a really good goalie can do as Minnesota dropped the finale 3-2 as Griggles, the Latvian goalie from Alaska, stood on his head all night making several great saves and shut down Minnesota's offense. You know, and Close left up, gave up, you know, at least one weaker goal, and that was the difference. You know, this team is sort of in fluctuation and turmoil right now, obviously, and the problem is this is the point of the season where they really need to make hay.
For our listeners who are not regularly watching the hockey team, why would you say that right now the team is in turmoil?
Well, as we said, I mean, we talked about it before, Jack LaFontaine, your starting goalie for the last year and a half. Well, he's now in Carolina playing professional hockey, which, by the way, his debut didn't go so hot, as he got left out to dry by the Hurricanes and gave up two goals on three shots in his NHL debut of a third period. So you're dealing with, and it seems like the team is rallied around Justin Close. But like I said, when Justin Close was brought onto this team, he's the number three goalie. He was brought in to be the practice goalie. He was never brought in to actually legitimately see action in games. You've got your what was supposed to be your backup goalie, Brennan Boynton, who was brought in after excelling in the USHL last year for Fargo. He hasn't played a single second. He's been dealing with injuries and illness, and he didn't even dress last weekend because apparently he was dealing with some other illness that apparently is not COVID-related. But that's the second time he's had a non-COVID-related illness and missed an entire weekend this year. So there's definitely some questions going on there. Minnesota brought in as a new third goalie, their top goalie recruit, who is expected to come in either next season or the year after, Owen Bartoszkiewicz from the USHL, who I think Minnesota would love to not be able to play this season and be able to redshirt and keep a year of eligibility. We'll see whether that happens, and a lot's going to depend on how Justin Close can do down here over the next couple of weeks. Add that to the fact that you've got two series left with your two leading scorers and your best defenseman before they go head to China for 3 weeks. You cross your fingers it's 3 weeks after what's going on COVID-related in Beijing at the moment. And suddenly this team has got to do things now. They get that opportunity with Michigan coming in for a huge series this weekend. We'll really see quickly if Justin Close can keep these games close against a Michigan team that, in theory, as far as we can tell, will still be fully loaded. All of their Olympians, including the two Canadians, should still be there. With has 5-6 first-round NFL draft picks on the roster. We'll see how Justin Close does against a team of this capability this weekend. If Michigan sweeps Minnesota, basically the season's pretty much done. The Gophers are done in the Big Ten, and they're going to have to probably figure out a way to run the table in the Big Ten tournament to make the NCAA tournament. Just losing that one game to Alaska brought them from a relatively safe and cushy eighth in the pairwise down to 12th, which places them squarely on the bubble. And so they've got no margin for error. You've got to beat the teams you've got to beat, which at least the rest of the season coming down the stretch, that's probably the Michigan States and the Penn States and the Wisconsins of the world. And you have to at least hold serve against the Michigans and the Ohio States and the Notre Dames. They get Michigan and Notre Dame the next 2 weeks with all their players on the roster before they head out to the Olympics. So bare minimum, the Gophers need splits the next two weekends. I think if they get swept either by Michigan or at Notre Dame, unfortunately, this team that had legitimate NCAA tournament, legitimate NCAA championship aspirations, you can pretty much put the fork in them here in a week or two if things go poorly.
I'd love to say we could switch over to the women and really enjoy the conversation, but somehow they managed to break what was, 5 days away from being a decade-long streak of no losses to Minnesota State Mankato?
Try 5 days away from 15 years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, the Gopher women beat Minnesota State Mankato 7-2 in ridiculously easy form Friday night, as they have done for the past 15 years. And then they went out and, I mean, sleepwalking is being way too nice to what they did in the first period on Saturday. I don't know if like they just got happy and complacent or what, but Minnesota State was by far the best team on the ice on Saturday. Minnesota got skated out of their own rink. They looked horrible. And oh, by the way, they have three goalies on the roster, and not one of them would you say is confidently a number one goalie. Lauren Bench got the start on Saturday and got yanked after giving up three goals on five shots in the first period. She couldn't stop anything. Now, admittedly, most of those were on odd person rushes because I'm not sure what the Gopher defense was doing, but it wasn't playing defense. Take that back. The Gophers clawed their way back, forced overtime, but Minnesota State got the winner in overtime, 5-4 win. The first time that Minnesota State had beaten the Gophers since January 20th, 2007. 63 straight games. The Gophers had won 53 straight. They tied Minnesota State in 2009. But yeah, first game in 63 games against a team you play bare minimum four times a year, if not more than that, that they finally lost. So yeah, things are going great. Oh, by the way, number one Wisconsin comes into Ritter Arena this weekend, and the Gophers took 5 out of 6 points for them in Madison, and I've already seen several articles online saying we're out for revenge this weekend. So if the Gopher women don't wake the F up, it could be real ugly this weekend.
I promise you, friends, listeners, we have a good note to end on. The gymnastics team is still very, very good. Andy, expand on that for me.
Yeah, no, gymnastics opened their season Monday with a big tri-meet. It was just supposed to be a dual meet between Minnesota and UCLA, but they graciously allowed Iowa to show up after Iowa's own meet at Georgia got canceled due to COVID issues down with the Bulldogs. But Minnesota pulled off the win, knocking off number 8 UCLA and number 17 Iowa. The Gophers ranked number 9 in the preseason polls. They had previously been 0-14 all time against UCLA in gymnastics. That's now 1-14. So it was quite impressive. Minnesota led the way by Lexi Ramler, who is the GOAT, the all-time best gymnast in Minnesota history. It's not even close. She was awarded the first Big Ten Gymnast of the Week award on Monday. It's only the 19th of her career. Also a Big Ten record.
That's okay. I mean, that's okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay. She scored 39.7. That's out of a total of 40. 9.95 on both the beam and the parallel bars. That 39.7, by the way, the highest score in the nation so far yet this season. She good. And we'll get another good view, of where the Gophers really stand. Their next meet Monday night at the Pav. Defending national champion and number one Michigan comes into the PAV for the first dual meet against the Gophers at the PAV for, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years. These are the two best teams in Big Ten gymnastics. They will finish 1-2 in some order at the Big Ten championships. They, you know, Michigan has legitimate NCAA championships. Minnesota, as a team, they just don't have the depth. But Rambler, Ona Loper, Maya Hooten have legitimate chances for NCAA individual honors and all around for Loper and for Rambler. So there's going to be a lot of gymnastic talent on the floor at the PAV Monday night. So I would suggest you go check it out if you can. Otherwise, I believe that we'll air live on BTN, so you can watch it on that as well. But, you know, we always sort of used to brag like 3 or 4 years ago about how we were a volleyball school when the football team was struggling and the basketball and the hockey teams were struggling. We currently are a women's gymnastics school. You know, everything else will go along and do what they ever need to do. But this just gymnastics team is special. There's a couple of special athletes in their fifth years, and it's worth your while to check this team out here in the next couple of months before Rambler and Loper move on.
And with that, we are at the end of another SkyU podcast. As always, continue to do the things that will keep you healthy and safe. And get you back to doing, you know, the normal, as close to the normal as we can get in this world. And in the meantime, go Gophers. Sky Uma, row the boat.